Good morning, everyone. Ali and Kanun are my co-authors, but there are quite a lot of other people who have supported the work that I'll present this morning. So I'll start with an overview of the LCA work from the grazing cap. The overall goal of the grazing cap is, of course, to promote sustainable beef production, primarily in the southern Great Plains from the group at Tarleton, but as we saw in the previous presentations, throughout Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas. There's a, as we saw, a network of data collection, but also a social network of scientists and stakeholders, similar to the dairy cap as well, looking at developing footprint methods, regional baseline, so we understand where we are today and we can document continual improvement, interaction with social scientists, development of cyber infrastructure for data management as we move into more and more data intensive monitoring and assessment of our agricultural systems. Being able to keep track of all of the information is really critical. So the LCA of beef production and the AppleCat tool, which will integrate with the NTP developed by the folks at Tarleton, is what I'll focus on for the next bit. So the schematic of the system is what you would expect. On the upper part are the inputs, water, fertilizer, energy, etc., the supply chain stages from crop production, cow-calf, stocker, finishing, and finally slaughter and packaging. In the red are the emissions of various greenhouse gases, nutrients, and other things. And so the objective of a life cycle assessment is to look at an entire system. And so in this one, we're looking at cow-calf production and stocker systems. So I think that the finishing and slaughter are outside the current system boundary, but ultimately I expect will be included. For these studies, definition of the functional unit, which is a critical piece of an LCA so that you can enable comparison between systems. If you don't have the same, if you don't deliver the same function, you can't compare. So you have to be always comparing apples to apples. And as Michael talked about in the first talk, the question of nutrient delivery is really critical and an emerging area of life cycle assessment, which we can't capture with these simple mass-based functional units. And so I won't talk about it today, but work that's ongoing in the LCA community is looking at how do we capture the effect of nutrition and link it with sustainable production. But for starters, and looking at production systems, right, if we're trying to evaluate production systems alone, then the functional unit of a kilogram of weight or an animal at the farm gate is appropriate. The nutrient tracking tool is a process model built on the APEX model of biogeochemical cycling and crop production. It links an economic model and AppleCat, which is a life cycle assessment tool. The dairy cap and in fact other work that we're doing at Arkansas is built on a similar principle of linking process models to life cycle assessment. So it's as Amber knows, it's difficult to survey farmers, and it's difficult to get high quality information from farmers because, frankly, they don't know how much manure they have to manage. They just manage it, right? They don't measure it. They just deal with it. And so, if we're trying to quantify these things, these process models are really useful tools to develop the life cycle inventory that feeds into the LCA. And so we can track, capture, monitor enteric methane, manure management, nitrogen cycling, carbon cycling on the systems using these process models. And the NPT is a web-based tool that enables a farmer to use a mapping system to pick their parcel and develop models. The AppleCat builds on or will eventually be integrated into the NTT, stocker, cow-calf, and transportation, capturing the emissions that we are concerned about in terms of greenhouse gases, but also water use and transportation, which is a really important aspect in beef and dairy systems. There's a lot of material that's moved, animals and feed, and the way that it's moved matters, right? If it's this kind of a truck or that kind of a truck or this kind of a trailer, you'll have different transportation efficiencies, and all of those need to be captured. I believe that there's a recent paper published that that looks at the diversity of animal transport in the beef sector. It's supported by a number of databases, so looking at animal breed, capturing the characteristics of the animals, different feeds with different nutrient compositions and therefore different growth performance, equipment database, vehicle, trailer, and fuel, so that we can capture the different impacts of the different phases of the system with some high granularity. So again, really repeating, enteric methane, manure methane using IPCC methods, nutrient balance both on the animal and on the land, N2O energy and water use. And so this summarizes the LCA framework in the grazing cap, and what I'll turn to now is the work that we've done. One other thing, different animals, modeled, breeds, forage quality, lactation, drinking water, enteric methane. Yeah, I was fine sitting back there. And they are developing a web-based interface so that people can come and simulate their own production systems. It's a daily farm scale system. And so the idea behind life cycle assessment is to not just look at one piece of the system, but to try to capture everything that's going on in the system. So that's the Great Plains grazing framework for the LCA, which is in fact very similar to the framework that we developed in the dairy cap. Which is that it's based on process models linked to LCA tools. So in the dairy LCA, we chose a similar system boundary, at least for the work to date, which is to the farm gate. In our case, a kilogram of fat and protein-corrected milk, and using a biophysical basis to separate the burdens that the culled dairy cows that go into the beef sector, to separate the burden of the dairy production between the milk and the meat. We use a biophysical key for that. As I mentioned, we link a series of process-based models with LCA tools. At Arkansas, we use the SEMAPRO modeling platform, and we have programmatic links between these different pieces of software so that we can do batch simulation of multiple scenarios, looking for both beneficial management practices, which ones are better, which ones are worse, as Matt described earlier, as well as identifying and characterizing adaptation to climate change. We use sort of typical life cycle impact assessment methodologies, TRACY, which is a U.S. specific methodology, and Impact World Plus, which has about 18 impact categories. So as Michael mentioned, if you look at a single metric, you're likely to get a single answer. And we need to understand that these systems are complex. There are trade-offs that we have to understand so that we can make better decisions. So in our system, we've used primarily the integrated farm system model, although the modeling team that Matt mentioned in the paper that's in publication compared a number of different models. But in the LCA, we've adopted this. It, of course, covers the things that you would expect: crop production, harvesting, storage, manure management, animal production. It provides a list of inputs. I think there's probably something like 100 individual data items that come out of the model. They go through an API into the SEMAPRO platform, and then we run the SEMAPRO model for each of the different BMP scenarios. This is a repeat of the slide that, an abbreviated version of the slide Matt showed. So one of the scenarios where we look at low forage rations, increasing corn silage and decreasing alfalfa, some of the things that, that have been discussed through conversations with experts about what do we think the management and adaptation practices should look like. So there's a longer list in the next series of slides. In this one, just looking at carbon footprint, we have Wisconsin, the little orange dot, center dot is Wisconsin. So running across here just above 1 kilogram per kilogram compared to New York, which is generally lower. And so I want to ask the question, why is New York lower? Part of the answer is that New York baseline farm is 1,000 animals, and in Wisconsin it's more like, what, 100 or 150? And so there's some, we think, economies of scale that are causing the New York farms to have a little bit lower impact. The pie chart shows which of the animal classes or overall farm is contributing to the footprints, and you see that they're not dissimilar, but there are some differences. The cow contribution includes feed and enteric methane, but the IFSM model doesn't provide an easy way to access manure from individual animal classes, and so the farm level, the sort of funny turquoise color on the left there, includes all of the energy from farm equipment as well as all of the manure management. So we say, all right, we've got this list of 24 scenarios, and we want to actually know, are they really different? I mean, they appear to be different. So how do we answer the question, how do we assess the robustness of our conclusions, right? We say, well, these are different. In LCA, one of the ways we do that is through Monte Carlo simulation. What we did was 1,000 runs in SEMAPRO, in which we seeded the input data with uncertainty from IFSM. We simulated 25 years of variable weather, and each of those 25 years then represents one data point, and we get the standard deviation that goes in as an input uncertainty, and then we use Monte Carlo simulation to propagate that input uncertainty into output uncertainty. And we'll look at the Impact World Plus impact assessment method. So I've got a bunch of really busy slides, so don't try to read them all. But what we have here for the New York State dairies is this horizontal line, and each of these represents the average of the baseline farm, which was 1,000 head. The first one there is the small farm, so the 150 head, but in the under New York climatic conditions. And the first thing that we see is that the error bars on the greenhouse gases are pretty small. We have a pretty good handle on the enteric methane, manure management, and those kinds of things that contribute to global warming potential. And so we can say that directionally these are clearly leading to improvements. When we look at water and eutrophication, we see a couple of outliers and see some general trends, but there's a lot more uncertainty in our ability to differentiate between the various management practices. We can assert directionality, but we really can't say, you know, if you do this, you will absolutely see these improvements because of the uncertainty in our understanding of the systems, and so that leads to an uncertainty in whether we'll achieve a certain level of improvement. I was sort of surprised at this one, and when I looked deep into the layers of the model, what I discovered was that this is driven almost exclusively by hydroelectric power to produce electricity. So water running through a turbine, and so I think we have a problem with our characterization in this model. So we're going to look into that a little bit more closely. So as you look at these next set of slides, the take-home message is really that there are differences in some things, respiratory inorganics, so particulate matter, for example, There are some differences in these, but if you look at the units over here, they're 10 to the minus 13. They're really small, so they may be different, but are they really manageable and do they really matter, right? So although we do produce billions of pounds of milk, right, so you multiply it out and it could matter. I can't explain that outlier. Again, for aquatic ecotoxicity, we don't see much difference, right? The error bars overlap. Marine eutrophication is nitrogen, and so that I think we can trust. If we put less nitrogen on the field, there's a high probability that there will be less nitrogen reaching the Gulf of Mexico, the Chesapeake Bay, or other places where marine eutrophication may be problematic. So turning to the Wisconsin, and I'll go through these pretty quickly, and I somehow didn't get the horizontal bar in here, but again, the water, same thing. In the Wisconsin, we have these two farms that pop out, and I've looked in the database, and I can't yet articulate what makes them different. But in Wisconsin, the baseline farm is a small farm, and then this is a larger 1,000 animal farm, and then this outlier goes with the double cropping. And I thought, oh well, double cropping, yes, so we're using more land, but that actually doesn't make sense, right? It should be the inverse. And so I'm talking with my student about, you know, why are these things showing up this way? Again, looking at the health effects, it's those same two farms that are popping out. So we have to chase that down and understand why that is, and if it's real, then it's important. If it's not real, it's also important to to correct it. And again, miscellaneous categories, those two farms show up again. So, quick summary. Process models, simulations are valuable in the context of providing inventory information for life cycle assessment. When we link the two, we can evaluate multiple scenarios that you simply can't do experimentally, right? And Michael has a tremendous experimental setup there. I mean, that's
what are you going to say?
Yeah, but you can only study three things, right?
Yes.
And so if we can get models,
three treatments,
right? Three farmers, right? So if we can get these models working and we can link them with environmental sustainability assessment tools, we can evaluate a lot more potential avenues for improvement. The AppleCAD is being tested in Texas. A web user interface is being developed. The DairyCap LC is also supporting the dairy farm environmental stewardship assessment tool. And you can find more information at those places. And of course, we'd like to acknowledge funding from USDA and our partners. I didn't have space for all 13 of the logos, so apologies to those who were slighted. Thank you.